At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Eric Edwards, President and CEO. Please go ahead, Mr. Edwards.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to welcome everyone who's sitting in on this webcast for us today. This is quite an exciting announcement that we feel very good about and is certainly a major point in the advancement of Lupaca Gold. We're proud to be able to announce today the business combination that's contemplated as released in the press release last night between Lupaca Gold and Andean American Gold. I have on the line here with me today David Rae, who is the president and CEO of Andean American Gold. He'll be available for comment and questions following the presentation and to give his own personal thoughts on the business combination as well. We'll look forward to hearing him a little bit later. As we go through the presentation, just make note of your questions, and there will be a period at the end where we can ask any questions that may come up and make time available for all of those. We will be making some cautionary statements, and this slide is provided for those of you who may want to take a look at that and understand the protection that we're relying upon with some of the terms and definitions that we will be using when we make any sort of estimates and forecast and forward-looking statements. We are Lupaca Gold, just to take a step back, has been public for only 1 year. We began trading in June of 2011. At that time, we had one project, the Crucero Gold Project, and we had a very ambitious focus to create a Peruvian-based gold exploration and early-stage development company. Our Crucero deposit in Peru has been very good in terms of delivering exploration results, and we've been very successful in growing that resource. And now with this opportunity, having had discussions with Andean American and finding a very good synergistic fit and complementary assets, complementary people, we're very excited to take this step in this next step in creating a leading Peru-focused exploration company and gold explorer. The properties that Andean American holds will create a good balance and diversification to our Crucero project. While Crucero will remain our exploration focus and will still provide most of what we see as the immediate and near-term exploration upside, the Invicta project has some very interesting opportunities. From a community relations standpoint, we have some diversification where we can go slow and use our time in exploring different alternatives to provide for the best long-term benefit of the company. Our human relations and staff in Peru is very complementary in that our administrative staff will be able to handle all of the in Peru activities. We have the Anticori project that is now being held within Southern Legacy. Andean American holds a 17% stake in that. We see that as a very strategic asset that has still plenty of room to grow and provides us with some participation in that developing district and the growth of that project as well. The strong cash balance is certainly something that's very important to us. $18 million combined as of June 30th. And we feel that we have a good management track record of creating shareholder value as evidenced by the deliveries of the last year. Advancing through, the consideration for the transaction is 0.245 shares of Lupaca. This is a 21% premium based on the 20-day VWAP, a very reasonable premium in terms of a merger. This will give Andean American shareholders 45.3% of the post-transaction company. The structure is a plan of arrangement. Other key terms are listed there, standard deal protection, And we're also very happy to have two additional shareholders coming on to the Lupaca board, David Ray, who's on the board today, and Jean-Pierre Chauvin, both experienced management executives in the long-term serving the mining sector. Both mining engineers will be able to contribute greatly to the Lupaca Gold board of directors going forward. Here's the pro forma capitalization. You can see the cash, $18.4 million. That's as of June 30. And $8.3 million in strategic investments. This is the 17% interest in Southern Legacy. That is a standard shareholder position that that we think may have some value going forward, but also gives us other opportunities to look at how we may want to best realize value from that. It's a very important piece of the transaction. Leaves us with, after taking the cash and the investments into consideration, leaves us with about $7 or $8 million of value attributed to Invicta. We'll go through that later. But you can see that the basic shares outstanding for the company, 81.7 million post-transaction. The premium we feel is very attractive. 21% premium is a very reasonable premium for a merger. Gives us some high growth potential, gives us some cash to be able to explore lots of opportunities at Crucero. We'll go into some of those later on, but it funds the company for a few years going forward. The diversification that it provides, the exposure to the Invicta project and that huge land position. The last point there I'd like to just draw your attention to, liquidity in the market presence. Andean American has some institutional coverage that they'll be transferring over, but also Andean American has a certainly a higher degree of liquidity and retail following. One of Lupaca's challenges in the last year is that our supportive shareholders like the story and they've been there for us, and it's been a very tightly held stock with very limited liquidity. We look forward to bringing in a new group of retail shareholders and giving that liquidity and volatility back into the market. The resource growth that we have been able to deliver here within Crucero over the last 3 years is shown on this slide. And then the resource growth that is added through this acquisition or this merger is shown in gold. So while we have been able to deliver a 50% or so increase in resources over the last 3 years with our last three resource estimates, we now, with the expected successful closing of this transaction, will add 970,000 equivalent ounces of gold in the indicated category and 240,000 ounces of gold in the inferred category, which will bring Lupaca gold up to, in combined categories, 3 million ounces, a significant increase. And we still are looking for more increases in resource ounces as we explore on Crucero this year. The board of directors of the new company, many of you are familiar with from Lupaca, the six that are Lupaca shareholders, continue forward in their present positions. And we welcome Jean-Pierre Chauvin and David Ray as directors. And you can see their brief bios there, experienced mining and exploration executives. The management team of the combined company will continue forward with myself as president and CEO, Gerald Jones as CFO. Both of us are long-term serving gold management persons, and we have a very good Peruvian management team with our country manager and chief geologist. Scott Warren, who's on the line monitoring us today, is also a professional investor relations person. Many of you have talked to him, and he's certainly available throughout the day today for comment, for any calls and questions you may have. So why Peru? I feel a need to go through this because many of you are very comfortable with Peru, and as we have given presentations over the last year, we've seen a marked decline in the concern that people have over Peru. But I think it's important to point out why Lupaca is focusing on Peru and on gold. Peru is, in terms of worldwide countries in which we in which gold exploration can be done and is receptive to gold. Peru has an exceptional history. They depend on gold and resource commodities for their export-driven economy. 20% of the Peruvian labor force is directly employed in mining. 60% of Peru's export revenue is derived from mining. Over $7 billion of investment brought in to Peru. That being said, we are certainly playing at a much lower level in the exploration game. But Peru has a long history of stable mining rights and permitting law, and we're seeing the Humal government actually taking quite aggressive steps to protect the contracts that are in place, as well as the outstanding mineral exploration potential that exists. But we're encouraged with the Humala government. We're encouraged with their support for the body of mineral law. We're encouraged with their support for the contracts that have been signed, and see Peru as very as presenting a great and continued potential for exploration and new discoveries to be had there. Here's our Crucero deposit. We've already gone through the resource growth that we've been able to deliver. So I don't know that we need to go through this much anymore, but only to say that we're drilling. We have two drills turning on the property right now. We have a third drill that's going to be arriving at the end of this month. We still are only drilling right now on one of 10 anomalies. That's our A1 anomaly, which is where all of our resource is located. We are still on resource expansion. Drilling on the A1 at the end of this month, we'll be mobilizing drill in and begin drilling on the first of our other 10 anomalies. This is the A345 complex, and we're looking forward to the results that are going to be coming out of there in probably the late third quarter of this year. That will be the first indication that Lupaca is much more than just the A1 deposit or A1 mineralized zone, and certainly presents a significant room as we discover mineralization on these other areas to be able to add multiples to our current resource picture. The mineralized zone, many of you, like I said, are familiar with this. The red in the photo on the left is, the mineralization. And this is at surface. The red is plus 2 grams at surface, which presents itself in a zone of 800 meters by 150 meters wide, the bulk of the higher grade mineralization. But the entire zone, is we haven't yet found the northern extent of it yet. It continues on, and that's where we're drilling at today. The photo on the diagram presented on the right is the ground magnetics picture. The A1 zone is labeled there. You have to look kind of close to see it, but it's the one right in the middle of our property picture. And you can see the 345 on the right-hand side, the dark blue right-hand side. You can see why we're so excited about that. Those are exhibiting very favorable ground magnetic signature. They have antimony and arsenic surface geochem samples that sit on top of them. They sit on very favorable structural geologic trends. So everything is lining up to that we feel very confident as management that we're going to be able to have significant discoveries in the 345 area. Now, the exploration team is on the ground doing detail work right now, and we, in order to be able to effectively and efficiently locate drill targets, we anticipate mobilizing in, like I said, at the end of this month and commencing drilling sometime in early August. But we're very excited about 345. We're also excited about the continued resource expansion on A1. That being said, the other areas as well, A6 and 7 in the north, are very intriguing, very early stage. But we're very excited still about the future and the exploration potential that Crucero holds. Now, moving to Invicta. The Invicta project has been around for a number of years, 10, 15 years, has been through a number of ownership changes, and was owned by Barrick at one point in time. Andean American bought the project from Andean American. Andy American bought the project from Barrick and has been exploring on it and has issued a number of resource updates and a number of scoping studies, feasibility, bankable feasibility studies over the years. But the project has tremendous potential and is still open at depth, even though it has close to a million ounces, equivalent ounces, in the indicated category, an additional 236,000 equivalent ounces in the inferred category, it still is open at depth. The project has a huge position. There's over 30,000 hectares that are included in the Invicta project. The Cristero project has 5,500 hectares. Invicta has 30,000. Only 600 of those hectares have really been explored to any great extent, and that is on the Invicta proper, the Antonia structure. So we are looking at a number of potential exploration, new exploration areas. The remainder of the property is relatively unexplored and deserves certainly a good look. We will be taking a look at that. In terms of the feasibility studies that have been outlined, they've ranged in size from 5,000 ton a day to 1,000 ton a day. There are opportunities that are available to look at trade-offs in each of those areas. Now, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because it is certainly our intent, and we see the Invicta project as holding great potential for additional exploration opportunities or exploration discoveries, but there's community relations work that needs to be done there. The communities, there are three main communities. One of them has signed a community agreement. One of the other ones is quite close to and is supportive of the operation. One of the communities, there's a lot of work to be done there. The community relations at the Invicta Project have largely been dictating some of the time frames for advancing of exploration. It's put the company in an unfavorable position. And now we have the diversification and the luxury of having a little bit of time to step away, take a look at the community relations issues, take a look at the exploration, and with a fresh view come in and see how we want to handle the development going forward. If you look at the value attributed to the Invicta project, if you take out the what we're paying for the company today in terms of the share exchange, you take out the cash, you take out the Southern Legacy shares, which we'll look at in a moment, we're valuing Invicta at something in the $8 million range. We're paying less than $10 an ounce for indicated ounces, which in almost any market, I think, is a very good accretive transaction for the Lupaca Gold shareholders and a very good acquisition value. So Invicta is something that we don't plan on drilling aggressively at first, but watch for news on this over the next year or so as we address the community relations, address the exploration potential, and address some of the trade-off studies that are being done for engineering and how we might want to approach further development of this project. The Southern Legacy position is certainly a very important strategic asset for the company. This is Tsingshan just completed the vend-in of the Antucori project into Southern Legacy, and they began trading this week. The value of the company is something around $50 million or so, which gives us our 17% interest at around $8.5 million. This is this is located in a very strategic area with a very large resource. Current NI 43-101 resource estimate is 295 million tons of copper, 3.1 billion pounds of copper, and 3.1 million ounces of gold. The appendix is attached to the presentation for all of you who want to look at the makeup and the tonnage and grade of those and the other assumptions. but it has significant upside exploration. But I think most importantly, this is a very strategic location in the heart of a very prolific mining district, 30 kilometers from Yanacocha, directly adjacent to Buenaventura's Tantahuatay mine, and 5 kilometers from Goldfield's Cerro Corona. The slide here shows the location of it and shows the importance of this deposit, the Antucoya deposit. You're familiar with all those names. So going forward, our objective with post-transaction, we remain as excited as ever about the Crucero project. We will now have some cash that should we want to actually increase our level of drilling on the project, we can do that. That would be resource and results dependent. We're seeing our first results coming out next week, and we'll be able to put together a press release within the next month or so after we get 3 or 4 holes of drilling under our belt. But we're excited about the future of Crucero. We're excited about A345 complex and the drilling that is going to commence there in early August. Watch this space because, like I said, up till now, we've only drilled on A1. Our 2 million ounce resource in combined categories is only on A1. The A345 presents a new opportunity where we can demonstrate to our shareholders that we have more than one resource of that, of similar size. That's our objective. We see the government of Peru functioning very effectively. We have been able to get our permits. We have been able to renew our permits. We have certainly our community relations is an important aspect, but we have been able to receive access agreements this year and sign permits. But it is a major effort for us to continue to move forward on that end. On Invicta, we'll be looking at continuing with some of the mapping and structural work that has been underway. That work is cheap and can move quite quickly. We're excited about those opportunities there. Certainly the satellite imaging studies that are available, it is a large land package we need to undertake as cheaply and as quickly as we can. Some kind of an inventory of what may exist elsewhere on the land package. There are a number of hydrogeological studies and water studies that need to take place. These benefit the project as well as some of the local community. And we need to understand and put some effort into the community relations. So the cash drain immediately from Invicta on the company is not going to be great. We're looking at something that's efficient and effective and can give us some early results and give us an idea of how to move forward on this quickly. So we're going to be taking our time to assess that, but move forward on the community relations. That concludes our presentation, and I'd like to invite David to say a few words before we go into the Q&A period. David?
Thanks very much, Eric. If I can, just in addition to what Eric has said, if you stand back and you look at this, people are focusing perhaps on Lupaca or focusing on Andean, but I think the thing that everybody can recognize here is that both companies are actually undervalued. So an exposure to this NewCo is effectively as good a move as staying exposed to one or the other. But if I look at Andean in particular, Eric's mentioned the synergistic fit of the management and board, but I think it's also sensible given that clearly while we're waiting for communities to be finalized, we got opportunity on exploration, which Eric has mentioned, and it's clear to me that the management and team at Lupaca is really more geared and has more capability to deliver that in a way in which creates value from the spend. I believe this really does increase the base for opportunity for Andean shareholders. So the board of directors unanimously agreed to participate in this activity. We've had the chance to participate with Lupaca management and executive on board in the last few months, and we've been very impressed by what has happened. We think this is a good place to put the assets at our disposal. That's Invicta, our exposure to Crucero, and also our cash. We think this is the best way to provide upside opportunity in the near term and exposed to a number of very interesting properties, whether they be the Crucero upside, which Eric was just talking about, whether we're talking about Antucoya or whether we're talking about Invicta. And if I can say with Invicta, I think the one thing that's worth keeping in mind, it's been frustrating in a lot of ways dealing with our community activity, but it's the single most important thing that we do, because it dictates what happens in the future. If your relationships are not good, then your project is always going to struggle. But just closing this comment, we already have an EIA and we have a closure plan for Invicta. So a solution with a community, when we have three alternative locations now for the plant compared to the one we had 18 months ago, would allow a quick decision as to whether we were to proceed with this project. That's unusual. Most projects that are in this position don't have an EIA, don't have closure. So it's a very interesting situation and an on-off switch, which is a little unusual. I think that's all I wanted to say, Eric. Thank you.
Okay. All right, David, thank you very much. You know, I have, I think I said previously, it's going to be a pleasure working with David going forward and having him contribute to our board for an engineering perspective. He brings with him a good career and background in the engineering stage, which we are missing, as well as continuity issues on Invicta and Antikori. So with that, I'd like to just, again, thank you all for coming in today and for listening to us. Again, stress that, you know, we see this as a real turning point. We've told the market that we intend to build a Peru-focused gold exploration company. We've taken steps. We've delivered on those promises and those objectives over the past year as we bought out the remaining 40% interest, as we put out a resource update. Now, as we contemplate and have undertaken the Andean American Gold, we think that La Paca Gold has momentum on the upside. We think that these are accretive, well-thought-out transactions that bring a number of benefits, not only cash, complementary assets, diversification in exploration properties, but still maintaining our core competency, that being gold in Peru. I open up this now for a question, and we'll endeavor to answer whatever questions you may have. And thank you again for your support, and we'll open up now for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Steve Willis of Casimir Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Eric. Sounds like a pretty interesting merger here. Just had a couple of questions. The first, you said you were going to get drills on the ground at A3, 4, and 5 this summer. When should we look for sort of the first package of drill results coming out of there?
Hi, Steve. We've got the geology, the detailed geology is ongoing right now on the ground there with the intent of submitting a drill proposal at the end of this month. We have a drill arranged to be mobilized in at the end of this month. So we start drilling the 1st of August. We should have the first holes completed, you know, the middle to 20th of August, and the first results being able to come out toward the end of September. Our typical practice has been to knock it into a hole-by-hole release. Now, that could change, of course, and I know that the market is very interested in seeing the results on the 345 complex. So, but you know, we're saying the end of September is a reasonable time frame to look for drill results.
Okay, great, thanks. And my second question is just on the sort of strategic play, sort of surrounding yourself nearby Buenaventura. Just wondering if you've made any progressions or had any thoughts towards the NSR at Cursero, or if there's anything that you think can be done there. I know that's could be a potential.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for that question, Steve. You know, we have a 5% NSR on Cursero that exists only on the A1 resource, which is our current resource. And to this point in time, Buenaventura had been supportive for the ongoing direction, but they've just been taking a backseat and saying, we'll wait and see what you have there before we decide whether or not we want to deal with it and in what fashion. So they've been interested in keeping up with what we're doing. They're certainly supportive for the direction, but there's been no incentive for them to deal with it anytime soon. The incentives for Bonaventura to deal with that royalty are going to be if we hit anything on the 3, 4, 5, which is outside the royalty area, which we hope to be able to have by the end of the summer, like we talked about. And now we have another asset within the portfolio of Lupaca companies that may be complementary to Bonaventura. So we see this as having value, and this was one of the value components that we looked at in assessing and assigning value, that the Southern Legacy 17% block may have value to Lupaca that may be unique to Lupaca, in that we're kind of drawing closer and may be able to talk with Buenaventura about a number of issues. Certainly, we have good relationships with them, and we would like to continue this dialogue, and it just adds one more bit of items that we have in common with Buenaventura that we need to discuss and work out. So we'll see how that develops, but certainly it gives us more to talk about and will speed the resolution of those issues.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
As a reminder, anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from Alvaro Belavan of RNB Resources. Please go ahead.
Morning, Eric. Morning, everyone. Congrats. Interesting transaction. Just a couple of questions. I was wondering if I could get a little more color on the community issue at Invicta, since I'm not as familiar with that project anymore. Specifically, wanted to know what exactly was the holdup. I heard David mention that there's an EIA in hand, so what broke down and what's the way forward there?
Sure. Hi, Alvaro. I'll ask David to comment on this in just a minute because he can go into some of the specifics. But what we've seen over the years, and I've had a number of calls this morning from people who are not familiar with the Invicta project and are not familiar with Andean American. The company has been around for a long time, but has been quite low-key and has been very focused on Invicta only. Because Invicta only, you're subject to the timetable as dictated by the communities, and so there have been a number of deadlines that have been missed and a number of delays as the company has tried to move forward. And it has not been due to any of the other kind of extreme kinds of community relations issues that we see in Tintaya recently, for example. It's just been the normal process of finding what works, building relationships, establishing the trust, and those things have taken time and have held up on some of the engineering studies, at least at the rate and pace that the company wanted to advance them at. David, can I ask you to comment specifically and add some color to that?
Yeah, as Eric mentioned, there were three different primary communities that we're dealing with. So the first of which, and historically where we wanted to build a facility, was Paran. We decided that because we were so exposed to Paran, relying on a timetable to get that resolved, we were not the only party in this. Paran had to come to the table too. We've identified other alternatives. And we now have a situation where the other two communities, which are like Sanga and Santo Domingo, have options as well for building the plant. So I would say Eric is right. It's not that there's anything extreme or untoward in our communities, but it's clearly a case of when you develop these relationships, there's always a fear that once people let you through the door, they can't get you back out. So communities will typically take a long time coming to an agreement, and having comfort they can go forward. We understand what it is that's driving the decisions and the thinking. In some cases, water, in other cases, roads, in other cases, there may be, for instance, school facilities. We understand all of that. And we've had a very much increased dialogue with the communities in the course of the last, I would say, 8 or 10 months. And we've had quite a number of different offers put in front of communities and discussions held. We're finding two different situations. One community is very well organized, responsive, looking for some very specific things, wants to really get comfort before they want to move forward with an agreement. The other community, a little bit less in terms of organization, very difficult to get a group together to make a decision, and as a result of that, quite frustrating in terms of progressing it. But as I mentioned, we're working around this to the option of having three different locations. In fact, we call it Plan A, Plan B, Plan C, but within those we have different locations. So we're actually set to actually move forward quite quickly with whichever community provides the solution. We have one community at the moment that we have the agreement in this area. We have a number of other agreements, but we're not talking about those because those are servitude. The agreement in terms of land use with the one community, we've had that since October 2010. Excellent relationship. If we took the opportunity to put our plants and facilities on that land, it would be more expensive. But it is the type of thing we could do. So at this point, with where we are with the other communities, we're first trying to see how that develops. And in the meantime, as Eric was saying, we're actually starting to look more at the rest of our package to see what other opportunities there are while we're waiting for these communities to come in. So nothing in the sense of particular NGO activity, nothing in the sense of very negative situations or the types of things that you've seen in some other locations. It's just a question of getting confidence and comfort between the two parties to move forward. I don't know if that answers your question, Alvaro.
It does, David. Thanks. And so I was going to follow up and ask about a timeline, but it's I see it's I guess very difficult to assess when it's just open discussions. So I guess it'll be what it'll be. On your last comment, and this is just my second question here. You mentioned there's quite a bit of exploration targets at Invicta as well. I note that Andean does not have a VPX either, and something that Eric, you and I have discussed in the past. You mentioned you were having your Peruvian team step up, at Crucero. Now that you have a larger stable, how are you going to manage the multiple exploration programs that you will have to manage?
Right. That's a good question. The way that the company is organized currently is that we have a project manager who is focused solely on Crucero. So we will have to look at adding to the team. We'll look at the team that exists within Andean American. They have some people that have been involved with the Invict project for a number of years and are quite familiar with it. We'll be assessing those. Over the last several months, Andean American has gone through a scale back and is down to something 20-something people in Peru. We'll be looking at those people and trying to make a determination. Likely, we're going to have to, and we've got some time to do this, and this comes back to, we're going to take our time to assess the project and decide how to move it forward technically, but likely we're going to have to add, recommence a search for a VP exploration in the near future.
Okay. All right.
Now, thanks, Alvaro. Thanks for those questions. But I would just to add to David's comments on community relations. We see this as something that has really unfairly penalized the Invicta project. And because anytime you make commitments to the market, and you miss those commitments, and the only thing you can say is that your community relations are not moving along. It certainly gives the project some color. And when those who are familiar with Invicta immediately think of community relations because that's been kind of the reasoning for some of the delays. But we feel that being able to back off and spend some time developing those community relations, that it certainly, we feel that Invicta has been unfavorably penalized. And that's the benefit to the PAC shareholders being able to do some of this Andean American transaction is that these assets are truly undervalued for reasons that we feel over some time we can deal with and correct and add to. And we welcome, like I said, we think David and Jean-Pierre are essential to this continuity and moving forward on those sides. Thanks, Alvaro.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Once again, anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. There are no more questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to Mr. Edwards for closing remarks.
Okay. Thanks again for joining us. I certainly myself, Scott, David is in Peru right now. We are all available for to take any calls or follow-up questions that you may have. I look forward to your support, and we'll keep you apprised as we both deliver exploration results and as this transaction proceeds and moves forward. Thank you very much for attending today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.